Hebrews 13, verse 5. How should we listen to these words? Why should we listen very carefully? Very good. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let us listen very carefully, because these are God's words. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Since the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So it says, let your conduct or let your way of life be without covetousness. Who remembers from the sermon what that word covetousness is actually made out of? Let me give you a little bit of help. Remember, brotherly love was love of brother, and entertaining strangers was actually love of stranger, love of foreigner. So covetousness is actually a word that literally means, okay, it does mean love of stuff, but even more literally, not necessarily other people's stuff. Let's do the Greek. Philargus. Think about your periodic tables. Ah, Cassidy got it. Love of silver. But you are right. Love of silver here is a part for the whole, which is a literary device called metonymy. And it does mean love of stuff generally, or what New King James calls, and accurately so, covetousness. So if we are going to love others and love God, we cannot love silver, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? You cannot love both God and mammon. Mammon. You can love God and men if you love men for God's sake. You cannot love money for God's sake. You cannot say, oh, I love wealth for the glory of God. You may love glorifying God with wealth, but that's different than loving wealth, right? Wealth is not a proper object of our love. Okay, so if we are to love God in the chapter 12, verse 28 and 29 way, and if we are to love men in the chapter 13, verses 1 through 4 way, we cannot love stuff. This is one reason why when I find you kids fighting over something, it troubles me so much. Yes, we should have a good understanding that, you know, certain things belong to certain people, and respect private property, and, you know, those things that are involved in the Eighth Commandment. But the deeper, more troubling issue for me is what's coming out of the hearts at that point is the love of stuff more than people, love of stuff more than a brother, love of stuff more than a sister. And even just by itself, the disproportionate, the inordinate love of stuff. He says, if you want to love the way we've been commanded to love, you can't love stuff. You can't love silver. You can't love wealth. You can't have your heart full of all the things you want or all the things you have. So be content, be happy, be satisfied with whatever the Lord has assigned it to you. For whatever else the Lord has assigned to you, he has assigned something else to you. What has God given to every one of his people in addition to everything else that they have? Ezekiel. Sure would be helpful if you had someone who could sit with you and help you work with Habib. Yes, Beatrice. His son And in particular, in his Son, he has given us himself, right? So he said, be content with what you have, for he himself has said. And one of the things that we see there is the best thing that any of us have. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So everyone, whatever you have all those things, and you have him. Now he is more valuable, isn't he, than everything else put together. You can be content with whatever else if you remember that you have him. This is especially the case for people like, this is especially helpful for people like Andrew Brunson, right? His captors have tried to make him feel like he has nothing. But they are not, they do not have the power to do that. Because he has, that's right, Victoria, he has God with him. Has God left him alone in that cell in Turkey? Has God forsaken him? No, he has God. And he may be content with such things as he has if he only remembers what God has said. So God is both the example of how we are to love. He has given himself, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. And this is love, 1 John 3:16, that Christ loved us and laid his life down for our sins. Loved us and laid his life down for us. In 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay, so when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that's the example for how we are to love, for the manner in which we are to love. And yet, I will never leave you nor forsake you is also God's greatest gift to us. It is what empowers us to be able to love in the way that we are to love. Because we have God with us. So we'll think about verse 6 and preaching that to ourselves when we come to worship God on the Saturday. But for today in this verse, remember, watch against the love of stuff. You know when we really find out from our hearts how much we love stuff? When we lose it. You lose some stuff, your stuff gets broken, somebody messes it up, moves it 2 inches out of its very orderly place on the top of your chest of drawers, touches it, breathes on it, is looking at it, and you suspect they want to touch it. Aren't we ridiculous? The way we respond to our stuff. And that just shows us how much we love it and how much we shouldn't. So we need to do a lot of remembering, don't we, that we have the Lord, so that what we do with our stuff in serving him and others will be put in its proper perspective. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would forgive and be patient with and have mercy upon your silly and sinful children in this family who love stuff so much when we should not. And so we are covetousness instead of content. But, O Lord, you have given yourself to us. You are the example to us of how we should love others by giving ourselves for others. And you also enable us to love them by having given yourself to us, so that whatever else we have, we can be content because we have you. O Lord, help us to be so glad, so content that we have you. Help us to remember it. We ask in Christ's name, and your children in this place say, Amen.